we live in a culture that rejects truth. Relativism is the cry of our day. If you claim to have truth, then you are arrogant, you're narrow-minded. If we're going to cling to this truth, it will separate us from the world. We have been entrusted with truth, with the very words of Almighty God. It has power. It will bear fruit. How can we most effectively proclaim truth in our culture today? Suffice to say at this point that we cannot shirk back from this responsibility. We have the truth of Christ entrusted to us, and we will not be silent with the truth because the truth gives life.
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They did not enter the headquarters themselves, otherwise they would be defiled and unable to eat the Passover. Then Pilate came out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man weren't a criminal, we would have handed him over to you." So Pilate told them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. It's not legal for us to put anyone to death," the Jews declared. They said this so that Jesus' words might be fulfilled, signifying what kind of death he was going to die. Then Pilate went back into the headquarters, summoned Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you asking this of your own, or have others told you about me?" "I'm not a Jew, am I?" Pilate replied. "Your own nation and your chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" "My kingdom is not of this world," said Jesus. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. As it is, my kingdom does not have its origin here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. "You say that I'm a king," Jesus replied. "I was born for this, and I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" said Pilate.
And on that, we welcome you back to our Hope Radio here at Joy 98.7. Hope Radio, sponsored by the Captive Project.
Absolutely.
On our last segments, we
welcome
have been
people.
Talking about truth, and I welcome back the voice you just heard, Frank Woods, Minister Frank Woods, missionary. What do you prefer, missionary, minister? What?
Frank Woods. I'm all of those things, but Frank Woods.
All right,
it's good.
So if you see him on the street, just say Frank, and then we have Eric. Who actually is also part of the Captive Project, who does our online radio, which you'll be hearing a lot more about. Mm. He does four stations for us. Of one is the Captive Project online music and all that good stuff. And so welcome, Eric. And, of course, our producer,
the myth.
Legend.
Yes.
The one that myths are made of.
Macedonia,
the samurai.
That's it.
Of production.
That's it. Precision
in precision in recording. Macedonia.
Amen. Amen.
And so, we want to on this last segment. We want to round out as we have been talking about the template of how the moral decline actually started when people started to move away from the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And we talked about the vast manipulation of the Word of God in order to justify some of the atrocities that have occurred throughout history, particularly here in our country. When we talk about slavery, we talk about civil rights, we talk about name it and claim it. We talk about prosperity movements that have totally just taken and twisted. And one of the highlights that we did on last on our last time together was how you have people, everybody in the world hates to be misunderstood,
mm-hmm.
and especially hates when you take their words and twist them,
right?
And you take them and you manipulate them.
Mm-hmm.
But how worse is it that you take the wow. word of God, the word of the yeah. the eternal supreme ruler, exactly, of God,
woo.
Who made everything, who does everything? How much more
wow
is it offensive to him? Now, I remember on our last time, Eric, you were going to say something that was very poignant to the conversation, and I definitely want you to segue into that.
Amen.
What were you going
to
mention?
Yeah, it's in Hebrews 4:12, talking about truth.
Mm-hmm.
Just came to mind before the program. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit,
yeah,
and of the joints and marrow.
Wow.
And it is the discerner of the truth, is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
That's it.
So basically that's what truth is. And I know I have a spot on one of the stations that says in Ephesians 6, the belt of truth, and it says Jesus is truth.
Yes, sir.
So,
yeah, and I like that because before we came on the air, you had a nice quick little testimony about what your grandmother had said, the patriarch of your family, the spiritual patriarch of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And without obviously going into name or details or whatever, what was the phrase that she had said or something she had said to you about?
She just really, before her passing on, to be with the Lord, she gave me a totality of her testimony of migrating from the South, coming up here, with nine kids of her own, and then the 10th being my older brother. I remember, knowing that she couldn't read or write, but yet had her faith, and she would tell us that, always look to Christ, always look to Jesus. But one of the things that was interesting is that she told me that with her not understanding the scriptures, literary, in her own studies, the Holy Spirit would take her into these different denominations around the community. And then whenever error would creep in, he would move her. So she would move to the next denomination. And she did that pretty much until right before she departed. But the beautiful thing about that whole story is that she and I began to, really get it in and go to the scriptures and study the scriptures. And there were things, although she was, the pillar of our family, the one that brought the faith to our family, there were some things that were very elementary that she really didn't understand. But once we studied it, she got a grasp of it. And I was just elated and floored by her testimony of how God, even without, an elementary training or even, being able to read or write, she was able to find truth. So God is good.
Awesome. And so in this segment, what we want to do is we want to talk about how people can identify error, how people can hold fast to biblical truths. And the first thing that I want to say is understand this. If whatever you decide to believe in can't stand up to criticism or questioning, then you really have to question yourself whether or not that is the truth. Because God's truth transcends all the disciplines.
Oh,
God's truth transcends all the is identified in all of the disciplines that we teach, philosophical disciplines, anthropological differences, theological, science, history, sociology. It simply transcends, including vertotology, of mm-hmm. course. It transcends, his truth transcends. And as identified, if you study any one of those disciplines, is what I'm saying, you will come to the truth of God. The truth of God transcends everything. And that's when we talked about in the very first section when Jesus said to Pilate, I came to bear witness to the truth. The Lord came to set truth correct. If you want to know the truth about salvation, Jesus. If you want to know the truth about creation, Jesus. If you want to know the truth about love, Jesus. If you want to know the truth about society, Jesus. If you want to know the truth about history, Jesus.
Amen.
His story. If you want to know the truth about sociology, if you want to know the truth about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
And so, and I think it was very poignant that we just free fall into the gospel of John, you know, and showing how Christ came to fulfill God's purposes and allowed us to be reconciled back to God from the fallen state that man had found themselves in after disobeying God's word, right? And so when we look at it, the scriptures in John starts out with talking about the Logos, which means word, the word of God, the very vehicle of God's thoughts is being manifested or being revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And so it's very important to understand when we talk about truth that it begins with Christ and who he is. And so the scriptures reveal over and over again that Christ was the perfect man because man was imperfect. He was the eternal Son. He was Lord and is Lord, and he came to fulfill God's purposes by being obedient to the Father and yet reconciling imperfect man back to a perfect God. And so we talked about that, and I wanted to start out because I know we got into a lot of scriptures last segment. But I want to go into the scriptures that really reveals what truth is, as it's found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 17. You know, we call it the Lord's true prayer, right? Because this is the Lord praying as an introduction to his priestly ministry on our behalf. And he starts out in chapter 17, verse 15 through 19, where he says, "I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth."
Amen.
"As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth." And so we get into words, and we have a lot of Christian jargon. Sanctified just means set apart for God's purposes. And he talks about how he has set us apart for God's purposes. And yet he also talks about sanctifying himself for us. And he does that by defining what truth is. And truth is the word. And he was the eternal word made manifested for mankind. So if you want to know what God's will is for us, then we need to go to God's word, which reveals God's truth.
Amen. And so one of the things that we want to do is, first of all, we're going to talk about what God's truth is not. Mm-hmm. Okay. What God's truth is not. Now, God's truth, as we talk about, whenever you come up on a truth of God, it will transcend time. It will transcend
culture,
generation, culture. and ethnic groups and so on and so forth. Whenever you come up, so when you sit up here and people say, "Well, we don't eat pork," and so on and so forth, Bible says don't eat pork. The Bible does not say don't eat pork as it pertains to Gentiles. Mm-hmm. When it's talking about to our Jewish brothers and sisters, and to this day, the Jewish brothers and sisters that do believe in Christ, they still uphold the dietary laws because that's their culture and that's what they do in obedience to God. But they'll be the first ones to tell you that does not bring you salvation.
Mm.
They'll be the first one. You go to Beth Messiah, Rabbi Schessler, he'll be the first one to tell you that does not bring about salvation, but we practice it because that's our culture and that's what how God raised us.
Yeah.
As far as the Gentiles, we always been eating pork sandwich and chitlins. And God saved us over pork chops and so on and so forth.
Right, right, right.
And remember, that was the argument that Peter and them got in. So
absolutely.
What we want to identify, first of all, God's truth is not based in opinion. Okay. It's not based in opinion. It is not based in what we want to believe or what we think is logically right in our aspect. If your opinion does not line up with the God, and we say this in our discipleship when we do the whole counsel of God, if we come up on a truth and it contradicts anything in the Word of God, then one or two things, either the Bible's wrong or you're wrong. And by simply understanding who the author of the Bible is,
yeah,
the Bible is not wrong. That means that you need to go back and study so that it flows within the context of all of Scripture. So you can't sit up here and say that, for instance, money is the object of how you know you're being blessed by God. That is such a lie, because in Matthew, he says the love of money, okay,
cannot serve two masters.
Cannot serve two masters. And here's the thing. Well, somebody will say, well, we're not serving money and so on and so forth. But if you're sitting up here telling people that in order to know you're blessed by God, that your money will be that identification marker, then that's a problem, because what are those people going to pursue? They're going to pursue some money and financial gain at all costs. And so if the Lord is leading them, say, for example, to live a life of poverty so that they can reach. What about the missionaries that deliberately sold themselves into slavery so that they can go after sex traffickers and try to free those women that were in the sex trafficking? They're not going to get any financial gain whatsoever. Right. But do you think their efforts going to be blessed by God? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Love justice.
That's it.
Mercy. That's walk it. Humbly with your God.
Humbly.
And that's also, God's truth is not rooted in feelings.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rooted in feelings, in what makes me feel good and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. You look at the apostles. It did not feel good to get whipped.
Come on.
It did not feel good to get filleted.
Right.
It did not feel good to be crucified. It did not feel good, okay? But what did Paul say? I count it all joy.
That's it.
To be persecuted for the sake of Christ.
Come on.
And guess what? They didn't persecute him or beat him and then leave $10,000 at his feet.
And see, this is what's not comfortable. This is not comfortable to say that, you know, God called me to die for him.
Yeah.
Right? It's not comfortable to say God called me off of this six-figure job to serve for 30-plus years in the urban community where everybody is standoffish and hate what it is that you're doing. This is not comfortable ministry, but God says that he who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses life will find it.
Amen.
And so I think our problem is self. It's the trying to exhort self over God's will, right?
And that's what you mentioned like in our last segment.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happens is when you base your truth in things like your opinion, money, or feelings, you wound up with a Taj Mahal. You wound up with a Taj Mahal. And y'all know what the Taj Mahal is.
Insight.
It's a house of death.
Wow.
It's a house that's so elaborate. It's a mausoleum to one person, the guy's dead wife.
Wow.
It's one of the most beautiful buildings in the entire world.
Wow.
And when you base your truth in that, it may look as gorgeous as all get out. But all it leads to is a dead body.
Wow.
You base your truth in opinions, money, feeling, anything other than the Word of God, and you are dead.
And anything other than the Word of God that you're going to place your faith in instead of God, the Bible defines that as an idol.
Including pastors.
Absolutely.
And this is what I'm saying. Okay. And I said that so direct. Make no mistake about it. The office of pastor is to be respected. It is to be looked at as the office that God has ordained. Make no mistake about it. That's why pastors and teachers, their judgment is going to be much harsher if they manipulate it. And so I say that because you also have people that say, if my pastor or my priest didn't say it, then it must not be true. even if you pointed out in the Word of God to them, you pointed out to the Word of God to them, and a lot of them like, well, my pastor didn't say it or whatever. And as frustrating as that is, I still will not say, well, your pastor's wrong. No, 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 no. All I say is, because all I say is, just study the Word of God. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm, and I leave them with that encouragement. I don't sit up here and say, well, your pastor's wrong, or you need to come out. That is not my job to do that. That's the job of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And I also, and I always caution students of the Word of God not to do this. Don't go challenging your pastor, especially publicly and so on and so forth. Don't go doing that, because that's wrong. Now, I know that we're running short on time.
No, we're not.
So go ahead.
Got about 5 minutes.
No, we're not. We got about 5 minutes. But I think, again, remember as the people of God that there are warnings all through the scriptures, the Word of God, that tells us to flee from idolatry. Whenever you feel yourself turn into one to have a self-agenda, a self-ambition, remember that even God himself coming in the flesh in Christ came to not glorify himself, but to be obedient to the Father's will and walk in total obedience. And so I wanted to read from 1 Corinthians 10, verses 10 through 22, and it says, 18 through 22. And it says, and it's talking about the warning against idolatry. And it says, look at the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in what is offered on the altar? Now, you have to do your study for that in the Jewish culture and find out. But then he says, what am I saying then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But I do say that what they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot share in the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or are we provoking the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And so, again, he's saying these things that these things that we choosing to worship and give that throne to the throne of our hearts to that demon, God is saying that that's not his purpose for us, but his purpose is to be glorified in and through his people. And so that's what I would encourage. And remember, we started out in the last session talking about 1 Timothy 4:1-5, and we kind of zeroed in on the doctrine of demons. Remember, the doctrine of demons is the study of things that perverts God's truth. And so it also was talking about that these things would be happening in the great apostasy. Now, what is apostasy? Apostasy is defined as the great falling away, one who has taken a stand. One who has taken a stand for the faith, and now because of the persecution, because of the dying to self that God has called us to, we walk away from it. And we are, and I would say that we are living in those times where we've chosen to worship things and put them in the place of God.
And so as we round out this segment, here is how we know that we're living in the truth. How we know we're living the truth. First of all, examine everything through the filter of the Word of God, okay? Examine everything through the filter Word of God. Anybody that says anything to you, examine it and study it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're trying to prove they're wrong. Don't go into it trying to prove they're wrong. Just go into it trying to find the truth. Because a lot of times pastors, when they do their sermons, they don't have time to do a lot of exegesis. You know, when it comes to it. So give the pastor the benefit of the doubt. And this is what truth produces. It produces what the Bible calls the fruits of the Spirit, the 9 fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you are living in the truth and the truth of God is residing in you, it will always produce these fruits each and every time. And so that's how you know the template that you're living in the Word of Truth is examining everything by the Word of God, and the outpouring that would be the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
But these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. We've gotten to our destination. Thank you for tuning in. Now, what's truth?
Culture that rejects truth. Relativism is the cry of our day. If you claim to have truth, then you are arrogant, you're narrow-minded. If we're going to cling to this truth, it will separate us from the world. We have been entrusted with truth, with the very words of Almighty God. It has power. It will bear fruit. How can we most effectively proclaim truth in our culture today? Suffice to say at this point that we cannot shirk back from this responsibility. We have the truth of Christ entrusted to us, and we will not be silent with the truth because the truth gives life. And we are going to rise up and be a people who preserve that truth and multiply that truth for the generations that come behind us. It is not going to stop with us.
Hope Radio 98.7.
Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. You can also like us on Facebook at Captive Journey.
Or you can hit our website at www.thecaptiveproject.com. Or you can hit us through email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com. Or hit us on the telephone, 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.